Should voters be told who's bankrolling an initiative? The question arose in Maricopa County Superior Courtroom yesterday when the attorney for APS, the state's largest utility, argued the ballot initiative Clean Energy for a Healthy Arizona, which wants 50% renewable energy in the state by 2030, did not note it was funded by California billionaire Tom Steyer. And that isn't the only question about initiative nuts and bolts before the courts. Also, a different Maricopa County Superior Judge ordered lawmakers to give votes more information on the changes the Citizens Clean Elections Commission may be thrust upon it. And for more information on this, we're joined by Capital Media Services' Howie Fisher. Howie, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be out of court for a few minutes.
Well, and let's not talk about your personal life right now. So, Howie, let's start with the Tom Steyer situation. What is the APS argument here? The fact that we need to know who is bankrolling the initiative. Have you heard this argument before about other initiatives in the past?
Well, obviously, state law requires financial disclosure. And in fact, if you look at the financial disclosure forms for the Clean Healthy Initiative, it does say that virtually all of the money has come from something called Next Gen Climate, which in fact is Tom Steyer's political action committee. What APS and Pinnacle West are arguing is, but they didn't say that they were the sponsor of the initiative, and therefore the people signing the initiative couldn't look up NextGen and couldn't find out who was in fact the sponsor of the organization. And therefore, all the 480,000 signatures should be thrown out and the thing should stay off the ballot.
But Howie, they're also challenging this on other grounds too, on the signatures for other reasons, right?
Oh, look, they have basically thrown everything they can against the wall and they're trying to see what sticks. Some of it is the claim that some people who signed almost 200,000 are not registered to vote. Now, that may be because the signatures don't match or the address is wrong or something else. There's also a claim that felons circulated some of the petitions. There are claims that the boxes that show whether circulators were paid or unpaid were not checked by the circulators, but were checked by someone else before they gave them to the circulators. Essentially, the utility is doing what it can to keep this thing off the ballot.
Howie, the signature gatherers or the people behind the initiative turned in almost 200,000 more signatures than was needed. Can you give us an idea? What's the usual accuracy rate, the usual rate that gets through? Is it something like 70 to 80%? And if so, if this falls under that, would it probably make it on the ballot? I guess, is there reason for folks behind this initiative to actually worry? And is that why they put so many more signatures than needed?
Well, As you point out, you know, if you need, for example, this is a constitutional amendment, needs 225,000 signatures. If you turn in 300,000, that's usually pretty safe. As you point out, they turn in about 480,000 signatures. That should be a good margin, assuming that there was nothing irregular about the petition gathering process. Now, part of the issue is going to be, does the judge say, we're just going to do the standard 5% sample, which is we send 5% out to the county recorders, they verify, and if they come back, that's representative of the whole group. APS and Pinnacle West want county recorders to be forced to check all the 300,000 signatures that they claim are bad, and the judge even has that authority to make them do that. So that's another piece of the fight here.
Howie, let's turn to the clean elections issue. This has also been in court this week. Tell us what's going on there.
Oh, God, yes. Well, the issue is there are changes the Republican lawmakers want to make to the operation of the Clean Elections Commission. One has to do is whether candidates who are publicly funded can buy services from political parties. The other one is a question of who gets to oversight over the rules. When the commission was established in 1998, they were basically exempt from what they call the Administrative Procedures Act, which is having to run things through the governor's regulatory review council, which is put it made up of people appointed by, ta-da, the governor. So now they want to have the commission under the, excuse me, under the Administrative Procedures Act and have the governor's regulatory review council have some oversight and perhaps veto power. The argument was, is this properly explained to voters in the pamphlet that goes out to all 3.6 million voters? And what the judge said is that, look, you don't have to say that the governor appoints people to governor's regulatory review council. That's sort of obvious on its face. Mm-hmm. But you need to make clear that the commission already has rulemaking authority, already has requirements for public comment and input and public meetings, and that this essentially is another layer over all of that. And the judge said to the legislative council, which is made up of lawmakers, unless you make those changes, you can't put your version of the explanation into the ballot brochure that's being mailed to voters.
Howie, very, 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 very briefly, is this just another death by a thousand cuts of clean elections? Is this what this is all about? The fact that many lawmakers, especially on the GOP side, just don't like it?
Oh, I the short answer is yes.
Thank
I
you.
Mean, they've been fighting this. The Congress has been fighting this in court, you know, ever since 1998, because, you know, if you take money from public sources, guess what? You don't need money from special interests.
Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, thanks as always, and we'll see you in court.
Sounds good.